Boston, the greatest sports city in the world. Period. And this is Boston's home for the Bruins, Celtics, Patriots, and Revolution. Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. Rich, audio of a umpire with Terry Collins has come out.
This is unbelievable. Okay, so usually when you see there be some sort of skirmish or disagreement with an umpire where the manager comes out and starts yelling in their face, what do you think the umpire is saying?
Be quiet.
You shut the hell up, or I'm going to throw you out. You think they're extremely combative. This video is something that surfaced yesterday. I don't know how long it's been out, but I've never seen it before because it's from 2016. Now, there is a little bit of a backstory from this, and it involves Noah Syndergaard. And Noah Syndergaard at this point is on the mound, and he throws a 99-mile-per-hour fastball behind. Who is that at the plate, Fred, at this time when you're seeing that it is... Chase Utley. Okay, he throws like a 99-mile-per-hour fastball behind Chase Utley, top of the third. It was a 1-0 pitch, and it missed him by a decent amount. However, there's a little bit of context there. I guess that was when the whole Utley's big takeout slide. Remember Game 2 of the NLDS that happened the year before, and it screwed up the fibula of Ruben Tejada? Remember
Utley spiked him.
Right. Utley's only spiked him. So this would be considered what the retribution would have been. So Syndergaard throws this 99-mile-per-hour pitch, but it completely goes behind Utley at this point.
Right.
So the umpire behind the plate throws out Syndergaard. And then what happens after that, what you hear is Terry Collins, the manager, and everyone starts yelling, and they're mic'd up. And this is fascinating. I'm telling you, if baseball wants to come back from the dead and get the ratings back and be once again the powerhouse that they were, if they could actually mic up the umpires, this would be amazing.
They could have a segment like the NFL does every week on the NFL Network. It would be a segment instead of This Week in Baseball. Oh. They get something like that, but with all the umpires mic'd up, to be a whole segment. I bet you everyone would watch.
Because if it's always like this,
yeah,
count me in.
Absolutely.
So once again, this is the sound of Syndergaard throwing this 99-mile-per-hour, obviously trying to plunk Chase Utley and missing. And this is what happens afterwards.
You're done. No, I mean, you can't do that. You're not in that situation, man. You can't. That ain't going to happen. I mean, I know you're going to say that, but that ain't going to happen. I mean, that's the wrong time to do it. That's all. I'm calling
it. That's the wrong time to do anything.
Well, it is what it is, but that ain't going to happen. Our ass is in the jackpot. We don't do something there. I'm just telling you that.
But shouldn't there be a warning?
The situation of what happened and everything else, that's what dictates that, okay?
But there was no prior knowledge of it before the game started. I mean, if Harry comes into the dugout and says, hey, if somebody gets hit, then that's...
Everybody knows what the situation is, okay? Take him.
Okay, so at this point, by the way, how calm is he? Like, talking to, like, Syndergaard?
You look at the umpires, and they'll turn their back on the managers and stuff. I mean, Joe West is the only guy I can see going off.
I hate him. Right. And if he was mic'd up, it would just feed into his ego. And
right,
that part of it would be ridiculous.
Yeah, because usually when you see the managers come out, and in very rare occasions they'll get face-to-face, but the idea is that you let the manager... do what he feels like he has to do for his team.
So this umpire here is talking to Syndergaard, and he's being very calm and handling himself very well. And at this point, that's when Terry Collins comes running out. You hear the crowd going nuts. Terry Collins finally comes out and starts running towards him, and that's when the umpire goes, hey, you deal with this, and tells one of the, maybe it was the, it was one of the other umps. He said, you.
It's probably the lead ump that wasn't behind the plate.
It probably was. He goes, you take care of this. I got to talk to Terry Collins. So Terry Collins comes running out, and here's him talking to Collins, who's fired up.
Terry, get a handle. Come on, let's go. Come on, talk to me.
Tommy, that's
then you t- talk to me about that.
I know, but you look. Okay. You got to give us a shot.
You know what?
You got to give us a shot,
okay,
Tom.
Listen to me. Let me hear what I'm saying, okay? You get your shot. You had your shot right there in the situation.
Well, why not?
You know the situation, Terry.
Why don't we get a shot, Tommy?
Because that makes it worse. Terry, that makes it worse.
I know it. But MLB did nothing to that guy. Nothing.
Okay, I can't control that, Terry. I can't control that. You know as well as I know where I stand on the whole situation.
But you're better than that, Tommy. You know that, Terry. Listen, I'm telling you, our ass is in the jackpot now. Okay, okay, that's, I'm just telling you, you know what, that's, you got it, you got everything out.
I love that because not only the way that he talked to him, it calmed down Terry Collins, but also he realized that Terry needs to do that for all of the fans and all the people who are there. Sure. He needed to get his, are you done? Just get it out. Get it out, man. Go for it. I know you got to do it.
I just don't know what our ass is in the jackpot means.
Because we have to do this or we're going to get in trouble.
I understand that, but I don't. I've never heard that term before.
Yeah,
like, I mean, I can infer what it means. I've just never heard it before.
But how amazing would that be if this was something? This is from a game 2 years ago, and we're just now seeing this.
I agree. I think that the MLB Network should have a segment like this every week. You want people to watch? Absolutely. Instead of the 8 hours of boring programming you have and the 8 reruns of Bull Durham you put on the air, I'd watch that every week.
That right there is more interesting than almost everything that's happened in baseball.
Far away.
Outside the playoffs.
Except for the draft. That I'll watch.
Course, everyone loves the draft.
Yeah, because you know, for people that haven't grown up around the game or, you know, don't follow it closely, it gives you an idea, because, you know, you just see managers, you know, with their foot on the top step just spitting sunflower seeds. It gives you an idea of what goes on in the inner workings of baseball. I think it would be quite valuable.
Although you wonder if this is a situation almost like Hard Knocks, where the first couple of seasons it's pure, but once they realize that they're mic'd up and people are watching it,
Weaver, they were mic'd up. I just don't, maybe just got picked up by the television because he yelled so loud. But I mean, Weaver would go on these, like, you couldn't fit more swears in.
Yeah, Jerry Remy told a long story last night about Weaver, how he would always yell at the umpire on the very first pitch of the game. To say, okay, you know, you're going to call that a ball. I'm going to make sure I argue with you immediately, so maybe it'll give me a couple of pitches later in the game.
And also, now you can't pitch at me for arguing balls and strikes because I started off just like
that. Oh, I would love that, to hear what everyone up to the plate says to the umpire when they don't agree with the
mic up the managers. Awesome. Just mic everybody. You're missing so much down on the field.
I mean, it's a three-hour game. Things have to be said. I agree. Here's CBS Sports Minute with Boomer, brought to you by Stormworks Roofing and Restoration.
So there's going to be a lot of people who are going to be outraged and shaking their fist this morning.
Happiness comes from feeling good about yourself.
Breaking the mold on sports radio in Boston.
Is that why I thought of Sesame Street?
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
One thing, you are eligible for an extension this summer. I'm just wondering, does your injury change at all how you look at that, even though you have to put some money on the table?
No, contractually or financially, just wouldn't make any sense.
Oh, big pun. Gone too soon. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. That is Kyrie Irving stating the obvious. I don't know how this is controversial.
Well, I mean, the big clickbait headline yesterday was that he has no reason to sign an extension with the Celtics. So people are like, and they click onto it. And then you realize that, I mean, why would you do that? Because he's eligible right now. If he was to sign an extension, what he could get is a 4-year, $107 million extension. That's the maximum. However, if he waits till next summer, he could get $80 million more if he just sits around and says, you know what, let's max this thing out. Why the hell would you sign something right now unless you were wildly concerned about your knee? That's the only case that I could see him right now trying to lock it in, is if there was any kind of worry. So, I mean, you could say it's a little bit of a gamble as to how healthy he's going to be. But it's an $80 million gamble, so I would say it's a gamble worth taking.
Oh, absolutely. And it's not like the knee is a little bit of a pest, it's still going to make a ton of money.
So I'm still kind of pissed off. And the more I think about it, the angrier I get. I go back and forth from being just like upset to being angry, then to be like not caring at all. But yesterday there was we had a guy from the New York Times on who did an interview with Kyrie Irving, and he did it on this press junket that Kyrie was doing for his movie Uncle Drew, which Fred, of course, has said it looks like it's going to be awful, and I'm waiting to reserve judgment till I actually see it.
I'll just tell you, it's a bunch of hogwash.
You might think that Uncle Drew is a bunch of hogwash, but I saw DJ Bean on TV last night. He said he saw it. He said it was pretty good. So, apparently, so what happened was yesterday morning...
everything is good.
So yesterday morning, Fred, when we left the room, remember, I was like, you know what? I'm going to email the publicists and find out if Kyrie's doing any publicity here in town for it. And, like, minutes after I sent an email to all the people who run all the movie junkets and things like that, I start seeing, like, Twitter accounts for radio people in town saying, hey, just did my one-on-one with Kyrie Irving here at the Boston Harbor Hotel. Saw the movie last night and blah, 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 blah. And apparently everybody in the Boston media was invited to the Kyrie Irving press junket to ask him one-on-one questions and have, like super long interviews with him, except for the show that, well, I would say the most people listen to, at least according to the ratings. On top of that, the Celtics flagship radio station
simulcast. You and I were among the first two people to speak to the man on Media Day, if you remember correctly.
Without a doubt. We simulcast on the same station that runs the Celtics. We run the Celtics. They were the flagship radio station, and we're the most listened to morning show in the city. Yet, don't need you guys. No need to invite you. We'll invite the other station that's got people
who don't even know what dial they're on.
So what happened was, so I emailed him yesterday before I knew about any of this, and then I start seeing all this stuff, and I watched like the thing on NBC Sports Boston, which they should have invited DJ Bean, and he did like a one-on-one with them because they're the Celtics station. That's a smart invite. But I'm seeing all these other morning shows in town, and I'm like, why would you possibly invite them?
Did Lauren and Wally get an invitation?
I didn't see them, but I didn't check, but I guarantee you they did.
Did Wiggy get his one-on-one with Kyrie?
Someone else from the show did.
Oh, really?
I'm not kidding you. I'm not kidding you.
Oh, my God.
They're one of the shows that got invited.
Oh, yeah. Got to cram that in the introduction to...
That's true. They only have about 3 minutes to put it in there, yeah, right?
Whatever the Pitbull song they're playing, it's going to fit in there.
Well, yeah. We'll get back to Wiggy in a second. So I sent them an email last night, and it wasn't even like... I didn't even want to be mad because I like these people, but this is kind of a track record of us getting completely ignored. And I don't know if we did anything to piss them off. I mean, it was a Star Wars thing first where they told me that there was no screening. And that day I found out there was a screening and I went and showed up. And they're like, oh, it's like someone having a birthday party you weren't invited to and you show up. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm here.
It's because we're shock jocks.
Maybe. I don't know what we did. So I sent them a nice email. I didn't get angry. But the more I think about it, the more it kind of pisses me off. I mean, I don't know why we continue to get left off these things, but either way, if you want to fix this whole situation with the Celtics right now, maybe we aren't the morning show that you need to be thinking about. Maybe it's one that involves...
By the way, this is from the man's car again.
Hold on. I need to get a pen and paper for this.
Okay.
I'm ready now.
All right. Okay. Because there are some people that are the capologists who figure out how to move kind of money around and figure out ways and means to do things.
He's the Nate Silver of our town.
He could be, but then there are other types of geniuses.
Okay, what makes a good chicken parm sandwich? First things first. You got to find a place that makes a good chicken palm sandwich.
None other than Jermaine Wiggins, our good friend. And he made a video yesterday and posted it up on his Instagram account. And he said, Danny Ainge, I got everything figured out.
So I'm listening to everybody talk about LeBron to the Celtics. Here's how you make it happen. Danny, this is for free. So listen up. This is what you do. You package Tatum, Brown, your draft pick, and Al Horford. You send them to New Orleans. You get Anthony Davis. If you got to throw Rozier, you throw Rozier in. You max out Kyrie. You max out Davis. You already got Hayward, who's a max. You then sit down with LeBron and Kyrie and say, hey, listen, LeBron, you want to build a legacy? You want to start a dynasty? It's here. You tell him go to Kevin Durant route and do a two-year $50-60 million, and now you'll be able to build that dynasty, that legacy. And here's your team: Kyrie, LeBron, Davis, and Hayward. That team right there, LeBron, wins 4 championships. You walk away from this game with at least 6 NBA titles and maybe the greatest player to ever play the game.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, so
his two-year contract will win 2 titles a year.
Hang on. So if you come here and you win 4 championships, you'll have at least 6. You see, I would see he's already got 3, so it would definitely be at least 6. That would make it 7 if you use a little bit of math.
Well, yeah. Listen, that's addition.
But if you get signed for 2 years, he's going to win 4 more championships here.
Yeah, there's not a lot of math involved.
So, but think about it. He makes a good point. If you had a team, Fred, that had LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, you had Gordon Hayward, And you were able to also keep around
Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis. Left out Anthony Davis.
Well, that's obviously a big piece.
Sure.
But what I think about he's got a bench? Point. I think you could actually win some championships.
I agree but with I'm that. Worried about the bench at that point.
Just see what Eddie House is doing. Get him and Kendrick Perkins back. Just pay
Perk,
him a dollar.
You know what? Perk would come for a ham sandwich. He'd be there.
Oh, listen, they can each play. They can play every minute.
All right. So what does that add up to?
Well, the NBA salary cap, just to get that out there, is about $101-102 million.
Yeah.
And maxing out Davis, Kyrie, Hayward, and getting LeBron to play for 2 years and, you know, whatever it was, $60 million, that puts them at about 118.
Okay, that's good
for the four guys. And I understand there are bird rights involved, but I think the tax threshold is around 120. So I'm thinking, you know, you got four guys, but oh yeah, you still have another 14 to sign, including the two-way deals. So I'm thinking that might not work, Wiggy, but you get an A for effort.
I just like that he's always in his car. what are you doing in your car? Like, why is this the place that you're filming? Just like I like when TMZ,
because everyone around him would laugh at him.
Can't do that in front of people.
I understand that. Where you can't be mocked.
That's right.
In your own car.
That's true. No one's in the car with him. No one's there to laugh
they're
at
not,
him.
They're
this
not.
This device is free.
Wiggy, capologist. I love it, Wiggy. Listen, I'm on your side here. I think that you've got it. Wiggy, are you a genius?
Oh. Yeah.
Yes, you are.
No, there's
sir.
No doubting his logic. I mean, really, those four guys would be a threat.
I agree.
If you assume you could get everyone else to play for about 25 grand. But seriously, those four guys, you put them out there.
Manja. It means eat.
That's correct.
It does mean eat.
He is a lot of knowledge. All right, Rich, we have the stat coming up. What will we discuss?
All right, let's get to some of this audio from drunk Alexander Ovechkin at the Washington Capitals' big parade yesterday.
All right, here are the headlines.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Kutcher and Rich.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack. Kutcher and Rich.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Kutcher and Rich. Rich, what is going on?
Well, one thing you can say, if you're a Celtics fan and you are one of the people who does want LeBron James to come here, is that in an appearance on ESPN LA's Afternoons with Marcellus and Travis, there's a guy or a woman by the name of Maria Ridnour of the Akron Beacon Journal. She shared a story that said, quote, LeBron James says he does not like Houston as a city. As a matter of fact, when he played there, he told some of his friends in confidence that he hated going there and traveling there, and this is something that turns him off. It's one of the few cities he does not enjoy going to as a player. So if you believe that, then there you go. Then Houston is now out of the mix.
Scratch him off the list.
So scratch him off the list. You're going to hear so many stories about like this over the next 2.5 weeks of, oh boy, so-and-so went shopping for a house there. All of these places, by the way, Brian Windhorst has like locked in on his Redfin account. He's looking for houses wherever it essentially is. As long as he's close to LeBron, that is going to be one tough day for him when he's got to figure out a place to move like that. You think everybody like asks LeBron or begs him, like, can I move in with you? Do you have an extra bedroom, possibly?
Can I be your blanket? Grease up the doors, the doorways.
Just leave me on the ground floor. I don't do stairs.
Yeah. It's going to be, I get out of breath.
What's your opinion of Bryce Harper?
I think he's overrated.
He's overrated. John?
I think Bryce Harper is good. He's certainly an all-star. Now, the question is he worth all the money he's going to command in free agency? Probably not.
Well, a top National League executive has a fairly hot take. He has said anonymously that Bryce Harper is a losing player and is simply overrated. Now, he's going to hit free agency at the end of this season, and I guarantee you he's going to get like $400 million, if not more. That's what they're saying. Like $400 million is what he can get.
A 10-year $400 million contract?
That's what the speculation is.
Okay.
Upwards of $400 million, and some people are saying if not more. And you would have to think he's going to end up getting the biggest contract in baseball by the time this is all done.
You realize the man's hitting under .230 at the moment.
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
Yeah, it's not.
I mean, he's hitting home runs, he's driving in runs, but he's hitting under .230.
Yeah, he's not Mike Trout. He's not Mike Trout.
No, well, he's hit four homers in the last two nights.
Who might be on track to have the best season ever, they're saying.
According to this person, this is by way of Yahoo Sports, it was leaked, quote, he's simply overrated. The good ain't worth the bad. He's a losing player. He cares about himself more than the team. If I was in charge and had money, my team would not pursue him. He would use that money to sign 2 to 3 winning players. Another text, he's a losing player. I would not sign him. And then it says, if he gets more than 10 years, $300 million, I'd be surprised. I would not give him 10 years, period. He said he's just not worth it. He is a selfish, losing player.
Well, he certainly was raised in an odd way. I mean, he's...
What was it? What's the story again?
Like he got pulled out of high school when he was like 16 and went and played for some...
The College of Southern Nevada.
Yeah, some JUCO in,
that was
in Nevada.
Yeah,
and then,
to get him ready for the draft. Right. To get better pitching and better playing so he'd be ready for the draft.
Right, so he's raised like Marinovich. I would always think that's a red flag.
But again, he's 25.
Yeah.
I mean, how many 25-year-old all-stars come available on the open market? He's going to get 10 years from somebody.
No, of course he is, but I just...
Between $300 and $400 million.
But like you said, it's not necessarily his greatest year. He's hitting under 230, and also there's a lot of red flags with his background. Who is it that we had on that like loved him? And every time I made fun of them, they would get upset with
Gammons.
Me. Oh, Gammons, yeah.
It was Gammons.
Like, Gammons was infatuated with them. And every time I said that I thought there were red flags with the guy, he would dismiss me. And then he would get back to whipping the guy in the background.
Who was the guy that he said, well, you try hitting a fastball from him, but you can't.
That was you. He told that to you, but I'm trying to think of who it was.
You were ripping on some pitcher. For something, is like, well, you try hitting a fastball.
It was like, during the Tigers ALCS. It was during that, yeah. And he said, oh, it was the Japanese pitcher, the
setup
guy.
Okajima?
I can't remember. But he said something happened. I don't know. A B.J. Upton-like contract, which is $75 million for 5 years. Your thoughts?
If Scott Boras came to that...
He's getting whipped, apparently.
And the real story behind that is even more odd, that he went to the gym and went in a room where there was a nail gun echoing through it and thought that was the place to be.
Moments that I can remember in all these years covering it. But people cared so much about the other team.
That's what he was
that's
like.
That's indescribable.
He was in the Nautilus.
Yeah, that was 10,000 Leagues Under the Sea, Gammons. That's aquatic life, aquatic gammon.
He's being attacked by a giant squid at that point. I think
putting the submarine through the paces of Red Route 1.
Yes. Sure, and then
you know, I don't think anything in terms of nerves or off schedule that applies to anyone at this.
Point. That's when there was a ghost haunting.
No, that was a wind horse lifting up one butt cheek.
Is that what that sound is?
The great moments that I can remember in all these years covering it, but people cared so much about the other team.
All right. That's Periscope up.
He just so didn't want to do it.
No, he's not. Just not even paying attention.
He's like, I get paid, and here we go.
We have not talked about this story. So Terrell Owens finally gets his big nod into the Hall of Fame, and he said, nope, I'm not going to go to the ceremony, not going to be there, which I actually thought was kind of funny. Because it was like one of the first people was like, you really aren't going to put me in the first ballot. You're not going to let me in. Then F you guys. All right. And I thought that was kind of and I know that might not be the reason he was doing it, but I thought it was kind of a cool precedent. Because if your numbers are there, well, good.
That's the reason.
Then good for him.
He might not have said it, but that's the reason.
Well, there's speculation as to that's not why. That is not the reason.
Okay. And this speculation is what?
Okay. So a guy from the Philadelphia Daily News said an executive from one of the organizations that Terrell Owens played for told him that the reason that Terrell Owens decided to skip the ceremony in part was because none of his former teams were willing to host a party for him when he was in Canton. Which, do you put that past
awesome.
Him for a minute?
That is awesome.
That's me.
Because I wanted to be so pure, and like I wanted to be like, okay, tell those guys a few, because if I got the stats, put me in. This whole jackassery about you're not good enough for the first time, but you're good enough for the second time. But the fact that it's actually just Terrell Owens saying, you know what,
shouldn't have done those sit-ups in the driveway, big boy.
There's no party you're throwing for me, so I'm not going to do it. Then there was like that great time that he called in to talk about the diving show, and we asked him literally one question. We asked him the first question. It wasn't about diving, because that's how interviews are done. You talk about normal things that people want to know about, and then the last 30% of the interview, you plug your product, but remember...
I thought we were talking about diving, Other than that, if it's not... talking about the diving competition, then I don't really want to, go any further with this interview.
All right.
And that's when Fred hung up on it. So we made it one question in with Terrell Owens.
I was talking about this last night. You know the story about that kid in the state semifinals that struck out his friend and went and hugged him?
Yes.
How is that considered positive in any single way?
Why wouldn't it be positive? I'm curious.
Are you joking? These are like 18-year-old kids.
and the guy strikes the guy out to win the game, and then he runs over and hugs him. Well, that's like treating him like your bitch.
He saw his best friend was crushed.
Yeah, you don't go over and hug him. That's like oh, I'm so sorry that I did this. That would be mortified if I was the kid that struck out.
See, I didn't know they were 18. I thought they were younger.
No, it was a high school game. No, it wasn't six-year-olds. It was a high school game. It's disgusting.
I didn't think it was that bad.
No, it's a bad. No, it is. It's like putting someone over your lap and spanking them. That's exactly what it is. It's like, you're my bitch.
Well, then the guy and his friend could have gone, nah, I don't want it. But
because
he didn't
do that. Because the kid's probably sitting there and he's...
My friend.
Thank you, Scott. The kid's...
No participation trophies, right, Zoe? Screw those kids.
No, but the guy... This is beyond that. This is just being a guy that you strike out, and then a guy comes over and starts hugging you, the guy that struck you out.
Fred, have you never seen the movie Warrior? All right, brothers had to fight each other, and despite getting their asses kicked, they walked away holding each other because they were family.
Everyone's celebrating, and you walk over to the guy and start slow dancing with him. Oh, can you imagine being that guy?
His friend was crushed.
Yeah, he's an adult. Or close to it.
Not adult.
What do those look like to 10-year-olds to you? That's a high school team.
Sure.
Oh my God! I can't believe the two of you have any.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible.
So what should he have done? Like double Freedom Rockets?
No, he should have celebrated with his team and let the other kid go.
He did immediately afterwards. He went over there
after he hugged him for about 2 minutes.
Fred, not everyone in the world has a cold black heart like yours.
I know.
No, I'm telling you that it's insulting to the guy that he hugged.
I think you're angry because you're still backed up. That's what I think.
The guy that he hugged is the victim in this.
Fred's changed ever since they said he looked like Jerry Garcia.
And you know what? Mm-hmm. That show did take a turn after that.
He would have said, you know what? That's a good guy. That's a good kid.
No, it's not. It's terrible. His friend just smacked him in the face.
Except
I'm sorry I
so
struck you out. I'm sorry I struck you out. I'm sorry I'm so much better than you. Oh, if I'm the guy, I'm like, get the hell off me.
Or maybe the kid homered off him earlier.
Get off me.
But he didn't. He looks like he wanted
it. No wonder he struck out.
It's Fred, everything's changed. You would have been
Can't believe the two of you. So if you were 18 and a guy struck you out that you were friends with, you'd want to say 18's the same as now. You would want him to come up and hug you in front of the whole crowd and everyone instead of celebrating with his team. That's what you'd want.
I wouldn't be nearly as violent about it as you are.
That is turning someone. You're saying you're their bitch. I struck you out, and I'm going to come over here and pat you on the back, buddy boy.
Fred.
Sorry, I'm so much better than you. You're going to say something sarcastic.
It's just sad you've never known friendship like these two. That's it.
It's fascinating to me that you two don't look at that and are outraged.
Well, the kid wasn't outraged, so isn't that all that matters?
No. It's now the kid. Do you think the kid knew that it would be talked about on Boston Sports Radio? Now the kid's a laughing stock. I'm so sorry that I did that to you. I'm so sorry that... I mean, it's one thing when you fight, and then afterwards you're like, yeah, we hurt each other a lot, and now, like, here's a hug.
Well, if you want to look at a completely different angle, you could say it was the ultimate power move. Maybe this guy was effing with him and wanted him to look like his bitch. So you could say that.
Then it's up to the other guy.
Right, but he did not do
Kip,
that.
Go ahead. Kip!
Yeah, hey, what's going on,
Tom? Hey, what's up, Kip? How you doing, man?
Nothing, man. Listen, you got to calm down here. You just got manhandled by Jaffe before you even ordered your entree. And you're worried about what this pitcher did to the batter? Come on.
Well, first of all, you and Jaffe go at it and see who wins. And second of all, they're completely different things. I cannot believe the two of you are oh, my God. If I was that kid and then it got on TV, oh, boy. Oh, I would just be like...
Except all the coverage that I've read and seen about this has been overwhelmingly positive the other way. And no one except for you.
Positive towards whom?
Positive towards the pitcher who came in and hugged
him. There you go. The pitcher wins. The pitcher came in and hugged him. He hugged his poor friend. His poor, hopeless friend.
But his friend didn't mind it.
Well, I
kind of liked it.
No, yeah, he liked it?
Yeah.
How do you know?
They walked together.
They danced around.
That's after the slow dance, and they walked a couple of steps towards the other dugout before the pitcher made a beeline back to his player.
That kid has huge character issues.
Which one?
The kid that allowed himself to be hugged. Oh. It was a power move. I can't believe... I'm literally shocked that you two don't think that way. Oh, I'm so sorry I just struck you out. It's okay, buddy. I'm just that much better than you. And you're sitting there like all dopey, hugging the guy, and now you're on TV as a big loser.
They've been friends forever, Fred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Phyllis, go ahead.
Hi, this is Phyllis, and you're driving me nuts, Fred.
All right, I can hear it at home. We'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Oh.
We're Toucher and Rich. Scott Zolak is in the building. He is showing himself to us. And
they have something to promote, too.
Mm, that's right.
He's got his Supso shirts are going to be available at 98.5thesportshub.com at 11 a.m.
No, he was here. We went and looked for him in the office, and he's not around. So
wow, he's been in the room twice. But again, and he chooses the... He chooses to not come in.
I'm excited about tomorrow, 8 a.m.
Yeah.
We got wrestling camp with three of our, the three people who are going to be taking place in it or who are going to be participating in it. You've got Sarge, Jay Stu, and of course the one and only Pasta Joe, who's going to be here, who I'm very excited about.
I'm hoping that that Pasta Joe comes through. I'm hoping we're not bringing him back too quick, that he's not out of steam. Yes, indeed. Liz, go ahead.
So I'm a teacher, and I just, hearing you guys say that high school teams are adults, I don't know what high schoolers you know. But
tell it to the draft board, Toots. tell it, if you're 18, baby, they got you, the government can put you to work. You understand what I'm saying?
I do, but I'm also, as someone who teaches them every day, they are emotional wrecks and impulsive, and so thinking that they're adults in that situation is pretty silly.
Wouldn't you be mortified if you were the kid that got hugged?
No.
Oh, come on.
I feel like, so I don't know how the rest of the game went, and I feel like that would be important. Like, I'm super competitive, and I mean, there have been times when I've had friends on opposite times, and like, no, I don't want them to come up and hug me or whatever,
but you don't. You're an athlete.
Different.
You're competitive. You are an athlete, and you wouldn't want that.
I don't know. I'm not going to say one right now.
Well, that's who, you won't go on record.
You're getting real heated about high schoolers, dude.
Yeah, I'm heated. Well, it's not like I went to a Newton North game and taped it. I mean, this is on the news.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it's not like I saw it out. Hey, did you guys see that Pee Wee football game? What's up, Scotty Z?
What's going on? Everybody all bent out of shape over that?
Oh yeah, I'm pretty heated. It's gonna carry.
You know what the score of the game was?
No,
4-0. So it wasn't even like
struck
out. He choked. He was the last guy up in a 1-0 game,
right?
Or he would have hit the walk off for the win.
Because my son struck out to lose a playoff game, and he had his friend come over and console him on the bench. But he was
that's
nine.
Different. Yeah.
He was nine.
Yeah, our kids cry. I mean, kids cry all the time when they strike
yes.
out. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, get the one kid. What's wrong with him?
Yeah.
Oh, he struck out. Leave him alone.
Kids,
sit down there.
kid's competitive, man. He's got that fire in him. He's not going to take failure laying down. That's right.
You got shirts to hawk? The big boss man.
Yeah, we're hawking shirts today, baby.
All right.
The Supso shirt is making its debut today.
Excellent.
I'll start selling these suckers at 10 o'clock.
Are you sure it's 10?
It's 11.
It's 11.
Oh, 11. Oh, I know.
I'm trying to do you a favor.
It is your shirt.
Well, come on.
It's not really a favor to Scott.
We'll pump it up for an hour.
All right. Okay. Get everyone excited. Get in quick because sometimes these sell out.
Ours sold out in minutes. So, I mean, these sell out quick.
It was a run of five, and they sold out quick. What do you guys got going today, Scotty Z?
The Kyrie stuff. It's interesting. I mean, what else do you really want him to say?
But I just think it's interesting with all the, you know, LeBron stuff. And Rich, I'm sure you're big. Bring LeBron James, the Boston guy, aren't you?
You know what? I wouldn't have a problem with him being here. It would kill me as a fan.
Yeah.
It would kill me, but I would get used to it.
I understand.
Because
that.
I know that ultimately it would make them a better team.
You'd change like that.
Well, I wouldn't be a huge LeBron fan. I'm still a Celtics fan.
Right. That's fine.
I'd still be F that guy. But you know what? He might bring a championship, but I would just not concentrate on him. I would look at, hey, Jason Tatum.
Yeah, the journey would be difficult at times.
Sure.
We got some football stuff we got to get to. And imagine that, Wallach, you calling a game for LeBron James.
Not bad. I've done that.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I had a playoff game that Cleveland beat the Celtics by 46 in the Eastern Conference Finals a couple years ago.
Might be the worst game I've seen the Celtics play ever. I didn't see it. I listened to you, so which made
game,
it worse.
Game two of the Eastern Conference Finals.
So we got Mason today helping out, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I haven't showered in a while, huh?
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Looks like bathing's not his
Welcome
top priority.
To the club.
Look at this thing called soap.
Just kind of let everything.
The Grizzly Adams look, yeah.
All right. Everyone have a great day. Bye.